Father God, I come before you just grateful and thankful for you. You're consistent. You're faithful. You're perfect. And God, you don't leave us guessing. You give us what we need. So God, when we look at the text of Scripture and we see what it says, I thank you for the way it's clear. For the way, God, that it has revealed to us the right way to worship you, the right way to glorify you, the right way to be your church. God, I just pray that we would get out of the way, that we would be obedient to the text in front of us. But God, when Scripture says something, we would be a people that do it, and forgive us for the way we don't. God, this morning, as we come to a text that focuses on that, the reality of what Scripture is, I pray that you would burn into our brains and lock into our hearts the reality that God's Word is the authority over us. God, I thank you for godly men that understand that. I thank you for an opportunity to present that. But God, I pray that you'd give us the grace to do it. Thank you for your love and your Son, Jesus. Your name I pray. Amen. Today we come to a great text in our exposition of John. I love the verses that are in front of us today. As this text technically is a promise for the very book that we study. Right, the words, and we're going to read them here in a minute, but this text is Jesus telling the apostles that there's more coming, and the more coming that Jesus is talking about is the New Testament. So as we study the book of John and we walk through the New Testament together, the text today is Jesus Christ's own affirmation of the text that we're studying. That's good. Okay, if you understand that, that should excite you as to what the Bible is. It's the authority of God, and it comes from God, and Jesus himself, while he was on earth, put his stamp of approval on it before it was even delivered. Really incredible stuff. And listen, I love the Bible. It's up there with my favorite topic to teach. What is the Bible? Why do we follow the Bible? Why is it important to us? And I love hammering out how the Bible is our authority. In fact, Wednesday night, I got the opportunity to teach the little kids here at church. And that's what our lesson was on Wednesday. It was perfect. It just fell into place that I got to be the teacher on Wednesday, and the topic on Wednesday was the Bible is God's authority. And as I taught it to the youngest kids of our church on Wednesday night, I couldn't help but think, I really wish I could teach this to the adults of our church right now. We need this lesson. And then today, it just falls in line that we get to look at a text that is emphasizing how Christ himself approved the New Testament and who gives it, right? The Holy Spirit, as we break that down. But you got to get this. The Bible is our authority, and the Bible and its content, that needs to drive everything that we do. Listen, the Bible is what drives my living and the decisions that I make for my family. You say, why do you do that? And I'll say, because the Bible says this. And I want that to be the case for every decision that I make and every way that I lead my family, because I'm too dumb to do it successfully. I just want to do it God's way. God's word is crystal clear. Let's follow it. And the same way that I want that for my family, I want that for North Street Christian Church. The Bible should drive everything that we do here at North Street. We want our Sunday morning service to be focused on the Bible. That's why our service is set up the way it is. We do more preaching than singing. We want to be focused on the Bible. When we preach, we open our Bibles and we go straight down through it. We don't want man's wisdom, we want the Bible. This is why I don't preach with the screen behind me. This is why I don't put pictures up there and images and go through different things to help you see it. It's why I don't even put Bible verses up there, because I want you focused on your Bible. I want you to open a literal Bible to the text of Scripture and follow down through it with me. And when we leave this place on Sunday morning, I want your mindset to be, wow, the Word of God is so clear. The Bible is amazing. I want the service to be dominated by the Bible. And it should be the same with everything else we do here. Not just Sunday mornings. I'm talking like weekly Bible studies that happen. They should be dominated by the Bible. They should be focused on Scripture. They should be driven by the Word of God. Meals for the community, right? Things that we do here. That should be dominated by Bible. That should be focused on the Scripture. That should be happening because the Bible drives what we do. Meetings that take place, whether they're assigned meetings that have to happen, or whether they're meetings that pop up and need to happen, they need to be Bible focused and Bible driven. If the Bible says it, that should be the authority. Period. Including your bylaws. If they're 50, 60, 100 years old, so what? If the Bible says it, the Bible needs to be the authority on it. Now we come to this text today where Christ is giving us that authority, saying, I got lots more to tell you. And the content of the New Testament needs to fuel the way you act and live and the things that you do. Now let me show you how this flows from the text. Last week we spoke of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Right? Christ says, you're going to suffer and you're going to be persecuted and you'll be thrown out of the synagogue and you'll lose your life for following me, because the world will hate you if you're a representation of Jesus Christ. And then from there, he promises the Holy Spirit. So while the world is against you, you'll have God within you. The Holy Spirit will help you be a testimony and example of Jesus Christ to the world that hates you because of it. And then he said, here's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we broke that down to understand it, to say, hey, listen, the Holy Spirit's job is to evidentially prove the world as guilty, to prove Jesus as perfect, and to prove that no one will ever escape the judgment of God apart from Jesus Christ. In fact, the judgment of God was poured out on the person of Jesus Christ on their behalf. And so he convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, as we broke that apart, we learned that the Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit completes his task of convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment through Christians. Right? Through Christians, as we preach and we evangelize and we proclaim the message of Jesus to the lost, dead world. And we said it like this. It's clear in the text. The Spirit comes to the church, but the Spirit convicts the world. So he comes to the church. The church preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of men and the evangelizing of Christians to go out and convict the world of the things that they need, right? Of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so we've covered it. That's your job, Christian. Go preach Christ. That's the message that you preach to the world. Your content is Jesus. But today, then, the text gets more specific. Yes, our content is Jesus, but where do we learn that content? Where do we get that content? The New Testament. The New Testament is all about Jesus Christ. And so he says, go preach Christ. Your content is Christ. And then he promises a lot more info about himself that will be our message to the world. Let's read the text. Let's look at John 16, 12 through 15. And hopefully that intro gives you some understanding of what Jesus is promising here in this. He looks at him and he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's your promise of the New Testament. Christ is saying, I'm not done giving you info. I got a lot more to say to you. And I love the text because Christ is the one saying it. And so the New Testament is entirely from the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. It's God's word. I'll send you the helper. And when the helper comes, he will give you all the truth that you need. All the things that I will deliver to you. And so technically what you have in that text is Jesus authenticating the New Testament before it was provided to them. I'm going to give you more truth, and that more truth will come through the helper. And Peter got it. That's what he penned in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, right? You guys should know that verse, as he says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So he's talking about the writing of the New Testament, and he's saying, nobody made this stuff up out of their own mind. It was men moved by the Holy Spirit that penned the New Testament, that wrote the words that we study. And so Jesus is saying, we'll break it down, but many things I want to say to you, and those things will be delivered to you by the Holy Spirit, to which Peter says, that's the New Testament, right? No man wrote that on their own authority, they wrote it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So this is God's message delivered to you. Do you understand that? Listen, do you believe that the Bible is God's holy written word? Do you believe that every word of the New Testament came from God? And if you do, how in the world can that not be the final authority on everything? I mean, if we look at what it says and we say, look, it's very clear, this is what the Bible says, and we break down that text, how can tradition or history or whatever has happened in the past take precedent over that? I don't understand that. Bible must be our form of authority. Now let's break the text down and see exactly what Jesus is saying here. And hopefully you can understand it the way I do, and this is incredible. Verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you. Does that catch your attention? Where are we in our timeline? We've said this like a million times studying this last day of Jesus' life, right? So it's Thursday evening. Christ is spending his last day pouring into his apostles, and then he's going to go die on the cross at 9:00 in the morning, right? I feel like I've told you that 100 times. So here we are, supper's over. They've already eaten, they've left, they've gone outside. Christ is now continuing to teach his apostles. And let me refresh your brain on the text. 13, 14, 15, and 16 are promises made to the apostles, teachings that Jesus gives to the apostles. 17 is Christ praying in the garden. 18 is Christ arrested, and now he goes to the cross and he dies. So, under that timeline and under that study, we are very close to the end of Christ teaching the apostles things. In fact, he's done teaching at the end of chapter 16. 17 will be all prayer between Christ and the Father. 18, he's arrested. So, here we are today in 16, verse 12. And we have to make it to 16, verse 33, and Christ is done teaching them. Yet, in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you. Seems like an interesting thing to say when you're about done saying things to them. Christ's time with the apostles was about over. But Christ's message to the apostles was far from over. Just because he wouldn't be with them anymore doesn't mean he doesn't still have more content for them. And that is the more that he's talking about here. There's more revelation coming that is for you. I have many things to teach you, more things to be revealed. So as Christ leaves, his revelation will continue. And what do we call that? The New Testament. He's talking about the New Testament here. As Christ says, many things I still want to teach you, it's everything that he will give in the New Testament. The many things he wants to say to them is Matthew through Revelation. Is the 27 books that we have compiled in the New Testament of revelation of Jesus Christ that will be delivered to the apostles and then through the apostles. Remember what he said. Let's go back to John 14, 26. Flip back there with me. Should be like a page or two. John 14, 26, Jesus said this. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, important, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, we covered that back in John chapter 14 as we talked about the Holy Spirit coming and teaching them all things and helping them remember, and that would be the writing of the New Testament. And I told you there's like a two-tier promise there. He's going to help the apostles remember everything as they pen the New Testament, and then he continues to this day to help us understand as we read that New Testament and we break down those words that are given to us. But here, once again in John chapter 16, we have Christ confirming that he will teach all things to the apostles through the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who comes and delivers us the truth that is needed. That is your New Testament. Now, let's continue, because we'll get to that all things in a second. It's very important. But first, let's finish verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, and he says, but you cannot bear them right now. You can't handle them right now. The word here, as you break this down, it literally means it's too heavy for you. You can't pick it up. You can't possibly handle it. It's way too much for you right now. And so when Jesus says you can't possibly bear it right now, in my mind, I think of a huge tree that they can't move themselves. Like I want this tree gone, but I can't get it myself. It's big, it's in the way, I'm not strong enough, I can't possibly bear the tree on my own. That's what he's saying. I have many things I want to tell you, but they're too big and too heavy for you to deal with right now. Now, Jesus is talking about the entire New Testament. Why couldn't they handle the message of the New Testament? Why is the New Testament too heavy for them at this point? This is what I spent my week on right here, thinking through this. Why is it too heavy for them? Like, it's a great message. I love the New Testament. Why didn't Jesus want to just keep going and keep giving it to them? I came up with four things. I got four reasons why they couldn't bear the New Testament. Number one, because they still don't get the plan. Christ is dying in the morning, and they're still lost and confused as to how the Messiah is going to take over and reign and establish his kingdom. Jesus is leaving to go suffer and die. He's not leaving to go overthrow Rome and set the Jews free. He's leaving to go suffer and die. And they, as the apostles, they are so sold on the Messiah's triumph that they can't wrap their brains around the idea of him suffering. They don't get the plan yet. You remember in Matthew chapter 16? Jesus is speaking to his apostles, and he says, hey, who does the world say that I am? Some says you're John the Baptist back from the dead. Some says you're Elijah. Some says you're Jeremiah. And then Jesus says, okay, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for on..." That's true, right? You got it right. That's the right answer. And he says, and that's the first mention of the church. I'm going to build my church on that proclamation, on the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Then he goes on to tell the apostles what he's going to do. And the Son of Man is going to go suffer and die. And you remember what Peter does? Peter rebukes Jesus when Jesus says, "I got to go suffer and die." That didn't fit into their mindset of who the Son of Man, of who the Messiah, of who God's Lamb was and what he would do. What do you mean you're going to go suffer and die? We will never, ever let that happen. No way. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." You remember that rebuke? You can't stop God's plan. Anybody that wants to stop God's plan is of the devil. We're not teaching Matthew 16. I got to be careful. I don't get too far into that. But here's the point. In their minds, Christ was going to drive out the Romans, not be crucified by the Romans. And so they're so confused at what's happening, they still don't get the plan. They can't possibly comprehend the extent of the New Testament. What is the New Testament, by the way? The message of how we live based on a crucified Christ, a crucified and resurrected Christ. And so they can't get that yet because they still don't even understand the fact that he's got to suffer. They're confused by it. Number two, why can't they get this? Because they're selfish. These apostles are so selfish. In fact, right here, even in this text, what is their mind on? Themselves. They're filled with... Jesus just said that. If you back up a few verses, look at verse 5. Jesus says, "But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." You guys aren't concerned about me in one little bit. You don't even ask me where I'm going. You're just filled with sorrow because of your own circumstance. They are selfish. Struggling with their own suffering, they can't possibly comprehend Christ's suffering. They can't get their minds off of themselves long enough to comprehend the message of the New Testament, which is a suffering Savior that died on your behalf. So they can't handle the content of that message yet. Now, let's rejoice. There is an event that changes the sorrow to joy. All right, I already told you that. In fact, that's the next text after today, starting in verse 16. Dane Kerr is going to preach for you next Sunday, so pray for him. And then on Easter Sunday, very strategically, this is great, we're going to start into verse 16, and we're going to talk about an event that changes that sorrow to joy. Praise the Lord. Four reasons, though, why they can't handle the message of the New Testament yet. Number one, they still don't get the plan. Number two, they're selfish. Number three, the amount of info that is there. This is all truth. That's what Christ is promising, right? We'll see that in the next verse when we get to verse 13. But he says, the helper's going to come, and the helper's going to deliver to you all truth. And so as Jesus is talking about the entirety of what God wants man to know, he says, your brains can't comprehend that or handle that if I don't give you the helper to help you understand it. They can't possibly grasp it until the Spirit fills them and helps them grasp it. What's the Spirit's job? He comes to the church and convicts the world, evidentially proves, right? Their eyes can't be open unless the Spirit comes and opens their eyes. And so just like that, the apostles need the Holy Spirit to come so that they can comprehend and grasp the magnitude of the content that Jesus still wants to deliver, the New Testament. So that was the amount of info. Now number four, the content of the info. The New Testament, and we already said this, is how we live based on what Christ accomplished. How we live based on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, he still needs to accomplish it at this point. He hasn't died and rose yet. And so for the rest of the message to make sense, the New Testament and are the church's response to what Christ accomplished. Christ needs to go accomplish the work, right? And what's he say on the cross? He'll go to the cross and he'll finish the work that God has for him. Then he'll rise from the grave, ascend back to heaven, send the Holy Spirit. We will have the church, and then the New Testament is the message to the church. So that needs to be accomplished in order for the message to be able to be understood in its proper content for these apostles. And so four reasons why they can't handle it right now is because they still don't get the plan, they are selfish, the amount of info that will be delivered, and the content of that info that is coming. It's too heavy for you right now. Now, verse 13 then says this, however, right? Great word. Back up when you read that in your text. And so he says, many things I want to say to you, but you can't possibly bear them right now. They're too heavy for you right now. However, so there's coming a time where you will be able to bear them. And he says this, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we've broken this down already in chapter 14, right? The Spirit will help the apostles remember and understand and deliver the entirety of God's message. And then for us, as we study, the Spirit will continue to help us understand. We've broken that down. So the New Testament is from God. We'll look at that in the next couple verses. But from God through the Holy Spirit, right? The third person in the Trinitarian Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who comes and delivers us the truth of God in Christ through the apostles who pen that. And we can study it and he'll help us understand it. But what I really want to focus on today in that is two little words. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. You should underline that in your Bible. Or lock in on that. That's important. All truth means all of the truth that God wanted to reveal to us. All of it. Lacking nothing. Listen, all truth doesn't mean some truth. It means all truth. So God, Jesus says, there's much more I want to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. But when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will deliver to you all of the truth, every possible thing that you need. And so as Christ puts this stamp of approval on the New Testament, he also stamps it as complete. It's everything that you'll need. When the New Testament is complete and the Holy Spirit delivers all truth to us, you don't need to go looking for other truth. You don't need to be searching for it elsewhere. It's the Word of God that needs to be your authority. So get it. Listen, let's say it clearly and let's say it plainly. There is no need to receive messages from God. Stop wanting and stop trying to receive some form of special revelation. If that's you and you live that way and you do that, stop it. It's not of God. God has given us all of the truth that he wants us to receive. It's found in the New Testament. That's what all truth means. Everything that you could ever possibly need to receive from God, he has given you. So get it. There is no spiritual maturity in trying to get a word from the Lord. In fact, that's immaturity. So stop saying God told me, because he doesn't audibly talk to you. And if you think he does, you're wrong. Where are those messages coming from? Not God. Because God has already delivered to us all of the truth that he needs to deliver to us. We need to stop letting emotions drive us. Right? What happens today, I think, in society a lot is people say, God told me, God told me, God told me. And what they actually mean by that is they're crediting the emotions and the things that happen in their lives as communication from God. I often think people don't mean I audibly heard the voice of God. I think what they mean is I'm reading all the signs around me that are taking place, and so God is delivering a message to me from that. But the problem is that you don't need to do that. You don't need to read all the signs that are around you. You need to read the Word of God. The signs that are around you aren't reliable. The Word of God is reliable. It is absolute truth that is unchanging, that has never wavered, that never contradicts itself, and it is all the truth that God wanted us to have about Himself. All of it is found in Scripture. So when someone comes to you and they say, God has revealed this to me, you need to stop them right away. Or when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, God told me to tell you this, you need to stop them right away. And if you're trying to pray in such a way that says, hey, God, please just reveal to me some special revelation and special message of what you want, you need to stop doing that and you need to go to your Bible. You'll find your answers and you'll find your guidance in the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I love that text. That is such an important text. The Bible itself is claiming to be enough to equip you for everything that you would ever be expected to do. So you say, God, I don't know what to do with this next step of my life. Go to the Bible. Don't turn to somebody who's going to tell you what they think. Don't turn to somebody who claims to receive messages from the Lord. Don't try to listen for a word from the Lord. Open your Bible and see what God has already said, because He's given you everything you need to thoroughly equip you. You are responsible for studying the Bible hard. That's your job, Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it tells us to accurately handle the word of truth. So he's putting some responsibility on us there. Listen, get your Bible, open it, diligently study it, break down the text, look at the wording. This is effort. Well, every time somebody comes to me and they say, will you help me understand how to study the Bible? I always tell them the same thing. Yes, absolutely I will. But listen, this is work. Studying the Bible right is not a quick task. It takes lots and lots of time. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to accurately handle it, or rightly divide it, to cut it straight, to go down through it with detail and look at everything that you need to look at. Try to understand it correctly. And listen, that's your responsibility. But as you do that and you put that effort in, the Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. And I'm emphasizing that for a reason. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. Not feelings, not nudgings, not reading the signs or dreams. Scripture. He helps us understand the Bible. So when it says He will guide you into all truth, Christ is stamping the New Testament as His complete message to the world of what they need. And that's a good thing. That means you don't have to go around guessing as to who's telling you the truth and who isn't. You can know. Compare everything you ever hear with the Word of God. Use the Word of God as your guideline for how you live. It's the authority on how we do things. Verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. They understand this. Christ has said this to them over and over and over again in His time with them, right? Jesus keeps saying, I don't tell you things that I made up. I tell you what the Father wants me to tell you. right? We'll go there when it's time, when the Father wants us to go there. I'll do that when it's time, when the Father wants me to do that. I teach you the things that God wants me to teach you. I only say things on God's divine timeline. And so as Christ has repeatedly said that, they understand that message at this point, and he's saying the same thing about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, the one that delivers to you all truth, you can trust it because it's not his message. Whose is it? It's God's message. Now, the Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God. And so he's saying the same thing. The Father's connected with me. We say the same thing. I only say it according to his will. The Holy Spirit is connected to both of us. He says the same thing that we say. We're totally unified in who we are. The Spirit reveals the truth of God. And listen, where does all truth come from? God. God is the author of truth. And so he's saying the Holy Spirit will deliver to you all the truth of God. All the truth that God wants revealed to mankind will come from the Holy Spirit. So it's penned in the New Testament. You have it in its complete authority and word to you. Study it, read it, learn it. Now lastly, this is really easy. Look at 14 and 15 together. He, the Spirit, he will glorify me, Christ, for he will take of what is mine and deliver it to you. All the things that the Father has are what are mine. So therefore, I said that he will take of mine and deliver it to you. So what you have in those two verses is the Trinity. You have the Spirit, you have the Son, and you have the Father. And so what he's doing is he's saying there's a unity amongst the Holy Trinity of everything that you need to hear. Father, Son, and Spirit are in perfect accord with one another. And so the Spirit will deliver to you what is of Christ. So it's the message of Christ. The New Testament is Christ's word to you. But Christ says, everything that is mine, all things that the Father has are mine. So the Holy Spirit will deliver to you what I want him to, all things that are of me. But all the things that are of me belong to my Father. And so he's emphasizing that this is the Word of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they all have the same truth. And you know what it is for us? It's called the Bible. Delivered to us. It's complete. So you don't have to guess at what God's truth is. You can read it. You don't have to wonder at what God's truth is. You can just look at it, study it, understand it, and submit to it. Now here's the message there, though. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the content of the unified Godhead's revealed truth is who? Christ. He will take of what is mine and reveal it to you. So the Holy Spirit will reveal to you all truth, all the truth that you need about who God is. And he's going to reveal to you who Jesus Christ is, because Christ is the content of the New Testament. Listen, the entirety of the New Testament is all about Jesus Christ. So when you're studying it, you're seeing Jesus. And what's your message supposed to be to the world? Jesus. So study the New Testament, learn the New Testament, deliver that to the world, and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does in and through the teaching of God that he has delivered to us. You know what Colossians 1:15 says? You should. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all of creation, for by him nothing was created that was created, right? You guys know that text. But in the first part of it there, he says, he, Christ, is the image of the invisible God. So what does God look like? Jesus. What is God in terms of revealed to us? Jesus. Where do I learn about God? The Bible, the revelation that he gave. And what's the revelation that he gave all about? Jesus. So I study God's revelation, which is Christ, and as I study the revelation of Christ, I understand and learn who God is. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. Just listen to what this says. It says, "But we all, with unveiled face, behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's amazing. We have a reflection of Christ. We are to be the reflection of Christ. And how are we going to be the reflection of Christ? We need all the truth that we need about Christ. And where do we find that? The Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. That's what that verse said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, he says it at the end there. He says, by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if you take that by the Spirit of the Lord that helps us be the reflection of Jesus Christ, back to John chapter 16, verse 15, what does the Spirit of the Lord give us? All truth. And so what is that all truth about? It's all about Jesus Christ. That's your New Testament. It's entirely about the person of Jesus Christ. So I'm out of time, but listen, this is a simple passage, but an exciting passage. What are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus promising the New Testament. I got many things I want to teach you. You can't handle them right now. But when the Helper comes, he will deliver to you all truth. So Christ put his stamp of approval on the New Testament. Christ told us that the Spirit would deliver for us the New Testament. Christ told us that that New Testament that's delivered by the Holy Spirit would be all the truth. You don't need to go look for it somewhere else. It's all in Scripture. And then he said it's the unified message of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. This is God's word to you. Rejoice in that. Listen, if you believe that, then you got to submit to what the Word of God says. You have to be excited to study it, to read it, to look at it, to go down through it, to dwell in it, to diligently try to cut it straight and understand what it's saying. And when you do that, you're going to try to worship him the best you can. And the Bible needs to be your authority. Submit to it. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the truths that we find in your word. God, as you promised to deliver for us all truth, you didn't leave us guessing. You gave us the answers. Help us to be diligent students of your word, to study it wholeheartedly, to put the effort in, and as the Spirit helps us understand, God, give us the grace to obey it. Help us to submit to the truths that are before us as this is your word, and it's an incredible blessing and an incredible gift. Thank you for this church. Thank you for people's desire to study the word. May you be honored. As we aim to know your truth the best way possible, fill us with it. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.